Very often, when a person wants to come to Christ, God will put huge obstacles in the person's way. Why does He do that? When you want to draw near to God, that's a God-honoring desire, right? So, why does God make it so hard?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Verse 5, Jesus saw their faith. And how is their faith described? What's the definition of faith here? It's described in terms of action, right? They persisted. Persistent faith. Remember, they were not going to be denied. They were going to get their friend to Jesus. So when they first arrive on the scene, it's unbelievable. The crowd won't let them in. They got a guy on a stretcher, and the crowd won't get out of the way. It's like not getting out of the way of an ambulance. And so there's no way in. They can't get in, but they keep trying. It's amazing how much difficulty and hardship God allows when it comes to bringing someone to Christ. You'd think, okay, once someone's ready to come to Christ, God would just part the obstacles like the Red Sea and they'd be able to go in, but that's not the way it is. He lets hard obstacles stay in the way because obstacles are needed to filter out phony faith and real faith. These guys have to overcome obstacles. They try to get their friend to Jesus. The crowd won't let them. But they don't give up, so they hoist their buddy up onto the roof somehow, tear a hole in the roof above Jesus, lower the guy down right in front of Jesus. No record that they've ever, they say anything, there's no comment about what they believed in their hearts, what they thought in their minds, what they knew. The only thing we get here is what they did. And that's how Mark introduces the whole concept of faith in the book of Mark. This is the first time the word faith appears in the book. And it's linked with action, just action. Faith is active trust in Jesus. Now, of course, faith involves believing things, knowing things, feelings, all that definitely involves all that. But beliefs aren't really beliefs until they drive your actions. And so Mark introduces faith to us first in terms of active trust in Jesus, which is why that whole let go and let God philosophy just doesn't work. Because that phrase, let go and let God, implies that in order for God to work, you have to not work. And these people that teach that the more human effort is involved, the less God's involved, or the less the Holy Spirit is involved. What we see in this passage is the exact opposite of that. Greater faith results in more intense activity, not less intense. But what kind of activity is it? It's activity to get to Jesus. That kind of activity. The more I trust in Him to be good, the more I trust in Him to be powerful, the harder I'm going to work to get past any obstacles that's standing in between me and Christ. And so faith will power through that. There are scholars who have massive knowledge, advanced degrees. They know Greek, know Hebrew. They can clobber anybody in any theological debate, but they would never tear through a roof to get to Jesus. They wouldn't even walk across the room to get to Jesus. They have tons of Bible knowledge, but the knowledge is worthless because they don't use it to move toward Christ. I think if Mark were a seminary professor and he taught a class on theology, probably he would spend the whole semester teaching all kinds of great doctrine, and then the final exam would be one question. How passionate is your prayer life? How much does this theology drive you to move towards Christ? That's the measure.
How do you respond to obstacles in life? Things that get in the way of what you're trying to do? Most of the time we regard them as annoyances. And we have various responses. Maybe they make you angry. Maybe they push you towards self-pity. Maybe you just let them roll off your back and you hardly even think about them. But the Scripture teaches us the right way to think about them. Obstacles have a specific purpose. One thing I learned in my study of the life of Jesus was that when He encountered unbelief, He would put an obstacle in that person's way that would expose that unbelief. And He did the same thing with true faith. When He encountered a person who had faith, He loved that. He saw it in their heart, and He thought it was beautiful, and He wanted everyone else to see it too. And so He would expose it by placing an obstacle in that person's way. True faith is not turned back by obstacles. An example is the Syrophoenician woman. She asked for healing, and Jesus said, "It wouldn't be right to neglect the children for the dogs." Well, a response like that is a major obstacle. And Jesus wanted to show the beauty of her faith as she powered right through that obstacle and was undeterred. And not only do obstacles expose unbelief and weak faith and test and prove strong faith, but in the process, when they test and prove strong faith, they improve and strengthen that faith. Just as the testing of gold purifies that gold, so it is with tests of faith. So if you respond the right way, your faith ends up being stronger after the obstacle than it was before it. You might face 100 obstacles today. Instead of responding with annoyance, anger, or indifference, try to see them for what they are and appreciate what God is doing. Power through them and redouble your efforts to draw closer to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? A simple post on social media can change a person's day. This season, the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark, over 130 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.